three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. This is, well, I say welcome back, but this is the start of the year. We've had our first round of games and outside of the NBL with the NBA, NBA XL, so that was exciting. Before we launch into the games, we're going to do a review of each game and sort of points off from that and talking points, in particular about the telecast. We're going to touch on that. What I want to do, though, is people who may be new to the league this year, introduce this podcast and who we are. Andrew's sitting along on standby. He'll make himself known in a second. But first of all, yeah, this is a podcast about the National Basketball League of Australia and New Zealand. This podcast, we are media accredited. We have press conference access, or at least one of us does. What is this podcast? Well, think of it this way. Over round one, there were five games, 200 minutes of NBL basketball over a telecast period of about 600 minutes. And Andrew and I, we're going to hope to condense those 600 minutes into between 30 and 45. We're going to make a real effort this season to keep it below 45 minutes. We won't just highlight the games. We're also going to talk about, you know, the media side of it and the telecast and commentary and maybe a little bit of machinations off court that we want to talk about. Who are we? Andrew is in business management, NBL basketball fan for decades. Andrew, say hello.
Hello, Jay. That was such a great intro. I was just sitting back enjoying that intro. You did such a good job with it.
I've got half of it left.
Don't let me stop you. This is good. Carry on.
Joseph is my name. I perform a number of functions with Stats Perform, which is a media company, as well as ESPN Australia. Stats Perform is an analytical data company, sports data company, and then Video Highlights work with ESPN. So I think that gives us some credibility. Why should you listen to the podcast? There's a lot of NBL podcasts out there. In fact, we're going to talk about how many more there are, and it's a good thing. I guess the big thing is, first of all, you should watch the games for yourself and not listen. But in the event that you don't catch all the games, well, that's kind of why we're here. You know, Andrew is media accredited. Why should you listen to him? Media accredited. So Jeremy Lowliga or his proxies have looked over his request and said, yes, this guy can comment on our league. And then, you know, I get paid a bit of money from the likes of Stats Perform, ESPN. That's Carl Mergel and Steve Cliff, they're the heads of ESPN, and they pay my wage, and they think, yeah, we've read this guy's resume, you should comment on sports. It's pretty flimsy, but it's the best authority we have. Plus, we have 25 amazing patrons who say us to do this podcast. Andrew, I'm done.
That was bravo, my friend. That was an excellent introduction. I'm sure if somebody is tuning into NBL Pocket Podcast for the first time, they know the gist of it now. We love the league. We are an independent podcast as well. So we are, while we have the media accreditation, we are able to sort of speak our mind and say what we think. And we take the view, I think I can speak for you, Joe, when I say that we are the proxy for the person watching the games at home. We like to try and ask the questions and think about the things that annoy people at home, because it probably annoys us too, or we enjoy it as well. So we're looking at it from that position. We are not just cheerleaders for the league. We're going to call it out when we think it could be done better, but congratulate them when they do it well.
We pump, we dump. And let's talk about, let's pump. Let's jump straight in. We're going to do NBA, NBL cross those games that were just played or game that was just played. Yep. Then we're going to get a dinner update. Then we're going to launch into round one. NBA, NBA XL, probably the biggest thing to happen to the NBL ever. Am I right with that? I mean, beating an NBA team. It's crazy. What do you think?
It's ridiculous. And if you think about it in historical context, I remember after the 95 series, the Perth Wildcats went over and played the Houston Rockets. That was probably the first cross experience that the NBL had with the NBA. And the talent gulf was astronomical. Now, the Wildcats were hungover, so they do have that in their defense. But yeah, there was just a massive gulf between what the NBA could do and the NBL. And now, fast forward a number of years, but, you know, we've been competitive for the last few, and now look what happened.
Beat them.
Joseph Kaur, what Amazing. Happened?
Well, a couple of things happened. it really brings up two questions, and I'll keep this brief. Yes, the NBL has definitely improved over time. I think the local standard has improved, and the imports have kind of gone a little bit. It depends year to year. They go quite good, quite bad. I mean, there used to be some real stud imports in the league that I don't think some of these guys hit the caliber, but the locals have improved and whatever else.
And the just coaching.
The basement has gone up. There's not guys on a team where you're like, oh my gosh. I mean, there used to be a running joke that'd be someone on an NBL team. You're like, oh dear, I don't. They wouldn't get any time, but they were there.
Brett Rainbow, everybody.
He probably could have played. The other thing as well is the NBA has expanded. When the Wildcats played Houston, I think there were much less teams. I want to say in the mid-20s. Now there's 30-some. There's going to be two more players. You know, the talent drops just a wee bit. But yep. And then also the caliber of player, especially in a practice match. This was just a practice match. We've pumped. Let me just jump a little bit. Practice match. We're talking about practice. Corey and Tony. Corey Homicide Williams, if you're not following him, he sat down with Tony Armstrong on the ABC and he basically made a good point that NBA players 5 through 15 are good players, yes, but they're not, you know, once you take out the starters on an NBA team who are well and far beyond the NBA and anything else, once you get to those middling guys, you know, it's kind of an open field. And case in point, Torrey Craig played for the Suns. He used to play in Cairns. He was backing up Stephen Way when he played here. So, yeah, that's what I have to say.
Yeah, it was a fun game to watch. I don't know if you managed to watch the whole thing. I did. Yeah. I actually had to go to a work meeting and I took my iPad with me and I just kept it in the meeting. I said, sorry, everybody, like I'm sort of paying attention to your meeting, but this is quite important as well.
Wow.
It was just an internal casual team meeting, so it wasn't too much. But that's how much this mattered to me. I felt like it was one of those watershed moments.
Beautiful.
And I couldn't believe it. Now, to be fair, like, the guys doing most of the damage were other Americans. It wasn't like we could claim that our locals.
But McCarron, I can just quickly jump in. And McCarron had a near triple-double, a really McCarron-y stat line. What did he have? I've got it written here somewhere.
I know he had 16 assists.
16 assists, 9 rebounds, 4 points.
Yeah.
You know, and just Chris Paul just couldn't keep him. He was part of the damage, though. Like, Chris Paul didn't play any D. McCarron got around him, and he just kept feeding guys left and right for threes. He was a huge part of the win. It was those three, Franks, Randall and McCarron, but you were saying.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and DJ, to his credit, he did pretty well. Yeah, till he got injured. So I hope that's not too serious for his sake. I doubt it would be. But just that shooting performance was unheard of. I think that's the best shooting performance Adelaide 36ers have ever put on the entire history of the franchise.
Guys taking two dribbles over the halfway mark and chucking up quarter court threes. It was absurd. It was amazing. And Randall, I mean, talk about the NBL broadcast, mic up the nets better. I mean, the sound when Randall was, it was wet. With a WH, it was just snapping the net. It was so gorgeous to listen to. I put up highlights at NBL Pocket Pod of all Randall's 9 threes, maybe Frank's as well, but the net is just getting torn. It was amazing to hear.
I'm so glad you say that because that was a noticeable difference, wasn't it? Between, you know, we'll talk about some other probably noticeable differences in the telecast, but that audio effect of the net just going, and surely the NBL nets make the same noise. They're not special NBA net, is it?
If they don't. Well, if it is a special NBA net, go
buy some
and install them. How much is a nylon net? Okay, but it's $100. All right. It's an investment for 10 years, you know. It just was beautiful. If I can say something about the three-point shooting, a lot of NBL fans, and this is now we pump, we dump, time to dump a bit. NBL fans will be like, I don't like the NBA. You know, it's got the too many threes, not physical enough. Well, this game was the 36ers out NBA, the NBA. Three-pointers. They shot 43, they made 24 of them compared to Phoenix, who shot 9 of 34. No matter how good you are, you can't overdo, you can't undo a discrepancy like that. Franks and Randall were 15 of 27 from the outside. And these were not sort of, they caught it in the corner and it was defendable. This is just dribble up, pull up, and just effing splash. Ridiculous. Jumping off from this game, I want to ask you this question, Andrew.
Yeah.
Does it change your opinion of the Adelaide 36ers? I didn't think they'd hit their under of 15 and a half wins. I'll tell you whether I've changed my mind, but you're feeling confident. You had them, you really liked them.
Dude, do you remember our last podcast? I was all about the Adelaide 36ers, you know, going over and winning this whole tournament, or whole league, I should say. Yeah. You know, so that I don't know, am I higher on them than I could already be? They are so good, but now I worry that they're going to come back not so good because I'm not sure. I'm not sure neither of those Americans might be returning.
I mean, they caught fire, man. My opinion hasn't changed. I didn't see a lot of D. I saw a great game in a practice match, no doubt about it, where two guys caught, you know, stupid fire. And guys who, you know, I'm starting to think Franks was, oh, they're playing in the NBA. This, all right, I'll sign with you if I get that opportunity.
Oh, this was definitely a resume builder, wasn't it? They were there for a reason.
They won the internet. Twitter was ablaze. Pete Vessey tweeted about this game. Worldwide Wob tweeted about this game. It was trending big time on Twitter. This is massive.
I tell you what, if Adelaide do the double, if they beat OKC.
Oh, can just happen, by the way.
I know. OKC, they're not great, are they? You know the NBA better than I do, but they're not great.
Well, they're not as good as the Phoenix Suns, that's for damn sure.
Yeah. So if they put on a shooting performance like that again, they're going to win.
They could beat anybody. Let's move on.
Well done, NBL. I just want to say well done for doing it. Yeah,
amazing. And they pumped it. They knew what they had, and they put out highlights, and they went crazy about it. The in plays were banging. Well done, NBL.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, NBL, if I can pump the tires on them a bit, the amount of content they're putting out. We had a discussion in the week. I was like, do we even bother doing the podcast this year? There are podcasts. There are shows, documentaries, round by round. Now they've got this NFT blockchain thing where they're trying to steal your metadata. They want it all, man. But it comes back to something that I think Guy Neville said when he did the podcast. Wherever they can be, they will be. Now I sort of took that as words when it was first said. Now it's object fact.
Yeah.
And tip of the cap.
There's so much content. They're doing the documentaries. Yeah, you're right. And they've got their own podcast. They've got a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, like you said, like, do we keep doing this? I hope that we can find a niche that they can't fill. And I think that's why we're sort of focused now on providing those sort of a bit more fan-based insight. Because if we're just repeating what happened over the rounds, well, the NBL's got that covered.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, people need to let us know what they want from us as well so we can make sure we fill those gaps.
Jump in the Discord. It's in the thing. Now, do you want to talk about dinner or Jam TV? What do you want to do? And the broadcast.
I'm just gonna take a moment to talk about dinner, because people who have been faithful listeners to the podcast will know that during my time in Darwin, I had some quite exciting dinners, and I felt like people were probably wondering, how's Andrew going now he's back in Perth? How's the dinner situation?
We had sausages and bread. We had other things. Where are we going tonight?
So I'm at home alone tonight. Well, home with two children. My wife is out working, and I got home a bit late, and the kids were like, oh, can we get McDonald's? It's like, okay, kids, you can have McDonald's, all right? So they got the Happy Meals. They're pretty pumped. Happy Meals upgrade. One of the kids upgraded to chocolate shake with the Happy Meal. He's feeling really good. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I don't love McDonald's, right? I'm hungry, and I can't be bothered sorting anything else. I'll just get the bog standard Big Mac, which are tiny, you know, tiny Mac, the medium-sized meal, right? Nothing special. Mm-hmm. Okay. Pick it all up. We'll go home.
Can I tell you where this is going?
Sure.
You said bog standard Big Mac. I'm thinking this ended in diarrhea. No. Splash? Did you go splash?
No, it wasn't that long ago that I ate it.
You didn't do a Franks? You didn't do a random? You didn't go splash? That's too bad.
It was wet.
You didn't run and gun? Stun, maybe?
So the kids are happy with their Happy Meals. I pull out my Big Mac, open the bag, pull out the burger box. Good. Look in there for the fries. No fries.
Oh, they dodged on the
short
fries.
Changed on the fries, man. So my dinner update was, it consisted of a premix Coke and a really sad Big Mac with no fries. So Andrew Canyon's dinner is not getting any better back in Perth.
Good gravy. I tell you what, like, no fries. That the French are assholes. Jam TV in the commentary. Adam Ford, coach of the Cairns Taipans, made mention of it in the presser. He said, sort of underhandedly, but I thought he wasn't terribly critical. So you didn't deserve a fine, not even close, or any sort of reprimand. But just said, like, oh, yeah, a lot of zooming in, just keeping the half court action. To paraphrase, what have you thought about the broadcast? And it's by a new company called Jam TV. They operate out of South Yarra here in Melbourne. On the whole, I'll say this and you bounce off it.
Yep.
I thought the telecast out of Melbourne was good, and I thought the other parts of the country, a little bit patchy in its direction. What do you think?
Yes, that's probably a really good way of doing it. The first game, you know, I sort of tuned into that opening night to see how different it was going to be. And I noticed that they were really focusing in on, you know, being at the game. So they had the host, like the new position of host or hosts at court, you know. And then the hub were just doing the commentary. So that was good. The graphics look quite good.
A lot of box in box. A lot lower, you know, Simon Mitchell, instead of taking up the whole screen, he's doing an interview. He's down in the bottom right-hand corner. Loved it.
Yeah, that was good. I think there's probably more value could be ascertained from that black area that is NBL, it just says hashtag NBL23. I'm sure that's going to be filled with sponsorship boxes as soon as
stats
possible.
Maybe.
But I would like more stats and, you know.
Fantasy points, JMTV, listen to me. Fantasy sports, people do enjoy that.
Yep. So I think there's something more they could build on that. But as a starting point, it was clear, you could read it. It was good. The clock seemed to work relatively well. You know, all those sort of
no complaints.
Fit and finish. Camera work was pretty good in those first games.
Definition was a bit iffy. I was like, is this 720p? Is this good HD? You know, there's HD and then there's good HD.
There's NBA HD.
Then there's NBA HD, exactly. And I don't think it was NBA HD.
It still looks like the camera never feels like it's quite close enough. Now, this is a funny one, right? It sort of feels like it's a bit – NBA, even though the camera is effectively shooting the same area, I feel like I can see everything better. Maybe that is just a resolution, the factor of the resolution. Just seems sharper on the NBA court.
Some of the games,
I can see the ball better. I can find the ball more easily than on the NBL.
There's like an ashiness, a dustiness to the telecast sometimes. And I'm like, did they set off fireworks? Is this my contrast? Is this my TV?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there, but it's been like that for a couple of seasons and worse in particular venues. But
yeah,
I can't figure it out.
But then the really bad.
Where does it go bad? Where did
the
it go
worst
bad?
Aberration was actually the game I didn't have to see on TV when that, I think that was the Perth Brisbane game.
Yep.
I was in stadium, sitting not far from where those cameras are. And I looked over them a couple of times. I didn't, obviously, just looking at the cameras, can't figure out what they're doing. But it was like just seeing the equipment. They're like standard TV cameras and all look fine. But then I went home and I thought, oh, I'll just watch a bit of that replay because it's a good game. I couldn't do it. I could not watch the replay. I was feeling sick.
Why? Like, they've obviously got some AFL guy to do it. And if I'm wrong about that, I apologize to the AFL.
I think you're right.
Aussie rules, but it just, it made no sense to me. And everyone was commenting. Twitter was just, oh, this is crap. This is terrible.
And it was like zoom in on the ball. Yeah. Follow the ball kind of commentary. I mean, camera work.
Yeah, bizarre.
It was horrible. So, do you think they'll get the message? I hope they do.
I certainly hope so. I mean, JamTV's, I don't even, they're around here. I'm going to go and knock on their door. JamTV. I'm coming to say hello. You're in South Yarra. I can probably see your building. I'm going to come and say hello. They've obviously outsourced to someone over there and didn't go so well. Hopefully they've got the message. But they've got a small Twitter. I mean, the Twitter account's got, 200 followers.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Are they big or small? I've got no idea about this company.
You would think that they're outsourcing the contracting out the cameramen over here. They would just get the same camos as they've had the last few years at basketball.
Right?
So it's a strange thing.
Just bizarre, but how many times have we come up against this issue? But anyway, on the whole, I just want to jump onto the thing about the blockchain thing. So the NBL is kind of selling NFTs where you can buy highlights. It's an interesting thing. I mean, it just doesn't appeal to me. I wouldn't buy it personally, but if you make things finite, if you make things a limited time only, if there's a certain number of them, they have a value as a collectible type thing. People will buy them. It's a good little strategy. And then also, this is where I quite commend the NBL. There's a big article put out about maybe 3 months ago, New York Times perhaps, about how sports is losing traction on Facebook and Twitter. Before that was where a lot of sports conversation was had. Now they're finding that most conversations about sports are taking place in messaging things like WhatsApp, WeChat, things like that.
Yep.
So they've now created an NBL Discord as a chance to, I mean, obviously they want to sort of spy on what you're talking about. Spy is a harsh word, but they want to know what's going on, but also they want to mediate it, steer you to advertisers and just be a part of that conversation rather than being what they call dead interaction, like a WhatsApp group between you and I and friends. There's no one, we control that, what we talk about, all that information. So again, good play by the NBL. I did mention at the top of the program, but I just wanted to.
So you're saying good play to get into the NFT market? I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. You're saying no.
I'm saying terrible play. Absolutely terrible. Absolutely disgusted by it.
You're disgusted by it. This is a man who willingly orders Big Macs and you're disgusted. Why are you disgusted? This is interesting.
like the whole NFT crypto, it's just a giant Ponzi scheme that there's no intrinsic value, and it's just a it's like who's holding it when the music stops. But
Andrew, nothing has value outside of bread, water, Big Mac, like what you can eat, food, shelter, water. You know, it's all garbage.
I think the whole thing's garbage. I think it has such a bad reputation, and it's built its reputation for badness is growing, I think.
I think you can buy a highlight and you kind of own it, and it's got a token in it, or you know, a code to it that makes it an original. I get it. It's only the same as buying a painting.
Yeah, I don't see it that way at all. I just think
you think it's just putting value on absolute crap. A painting is at least a canvas and it's something tangible, whereas this is just total digital crap.
Yeah, and you can still copy it. It's like you just don't have the authentic original.
I think it's crap. I would never buy one
by the blockchain. Yeah. So what? You know. So I think it's bogus. I also think they just missed the boat. Like shout out to JD, John_Dunsire.
Blake, who does them as well, yeah.
This guy on Twitter, because I sort of, there was a bit of Twitter back and forth, and I said, this is the NBL jumping the shark with this one. He replied back.
Jumping the shark, Fonzie, you're doing it?
Yeah, that's right. I went Fonzie. I went full Fonzie. For people who may not know,
jumping the shark is when it's just you go from being a standard, good quality product to just being ridiculous.
Yeah, you've just gone complete farce. You've lost. He replied with an article just showing, I read about this, but I appreciate him sharing the actual link, that NFT trading volume is down about 97% since January. So NBL is probably 12 months too late on this. There's also, if you want to know why I hate it so much, I'm going to just give a great shout out to an amazing website for the nerds out there, web3isgoinggreat.com. Check that one out. Have a look through there. It tells amazing stories of all the different rug pulls and dodginess going on in the NFT blockchain market. There you go. So I'm very down. I'm down on NFTs, man.
I'm up on it because... Listen, if you just throw your hat in the ring, you see what happens. You make a few bucks off people willing to pay for digital crap. I mean, half of life is making money. I mean, we have a Patreon. We got 25 people signed up for this thing. They don't get shit.
Hey, man, that's cash money.
It's in our pocket now. Possession is 9/10 of the law, patrons. Come on. Come at me with your small claims court. Whatever.
All I want is a bobblehead doll. Can they just make some bobblehead dolls?
Bobblehead and a handful of fries. Let's move on. Round one, Southeast Melbourne, Tasmania. First game of the year. Interesting. I said this, I think I was like, okay, so update from the NBL. Everybody's hurt. It was like Magnay missing. I thought Creek was going to miss. He played, but it was clearly a bit hurt.
Had new haircut.
He looked like Judge Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Too esoteric. Did you get that one?
Vaguely. I hated that movie.
I love it. Anyway, blonde hair and I'll put
up. I was thinking James Harvey.
Oh, that's a good comparison. Good comp. What'd you make of this game?
It was a fun game. I don't think it ever reached any great heights, did it?
Adnam was fun.
Yeah.
Adnam was fun. Quarter court threes, hit one in the corner that was bizarre. That's true. Got to the foul line 10 or 12 times, 8, 10, 9 times, whatever it was. It was his game and fair play to him. Like we kind of ragged at him last year, but he will have these games where he scores, and he looked like he enjoyed not having Liafa around, kind of taking the pill from him.
Yeah, yeah. He had to do that with so many injuries. Mm. You need somebody to step up, and I like the fact that he's willing and able to do it. He's a good shooter. Big Sauce was solid. He missed a few around the rim that I think he'd probably want to make. Yeah, he's a handful. And I think once his touch comes, he'll be pretty good. I think he's got a lot of potential. As long as he stays out of foul trouble, and he seems like he's slowly getting the hang of that. The thing that I got out of this is, you know how I've been sort of ragging on the Jack Jumpers import trio? Mm-hmm. And Majet didn't do much. And then the other guys sort of just kind of middling, I think you would say. Kelly was okay in spurts. But the thing that came out for me is on Twitter afterwards, Milton Doyle's mum came out at me.
Seriously? I didn't see this.
Yeah.
Mrs. Milton?
Mrs. Milton Doyle had a crack, and fair enough too. I don't mind that. She came out defending her boy. I'm okay with that.
This is a taking it to the tweet. Let's hear it.
I should get it up. My goodness. Hang on. I've got to find it.
I tell
it.
You what, while you find that, I'll have a chat. I wasn't worried about the JJs after this game. I may have been worried about them after the next game they played. They were one of the teams to play to this round, or the only team to play to this round. They kept pace. Like the game was to their style and to their pace. Now, SEM were badly underhanded, but they gave themselves a chance. And I think the Jack Jumpers, they didn't do it against Cairns later in the round, but they hung into the game and had a chance to win it at the end. And when Majette doesn't shoot so poorly, I didn't come away from this game feeling like, oh my gosh, Tasmania are terrible and their imports are SHIT. I just didn't think it. The other thing, though, is free throw attempt discrepancy or difference, 29-6 in favor of the Phoenix. There is a lack of dynamism on the JJs, and that's partly to do with their imports who are still kind of struggling to figure it out. Of course, that was their first game. If you got Mrs. Milton?
I do hear, yes.
What'd she say?
I've just found it. So we've got Mrs. Milton, she is Queen of the Pack with just a PAC, 46, at Queen of the Pack, 46. She said, the problem is you guys haven't done your research on my son Milt. He's not a hog of a guard. He's more of a get everyone involved and he can create for him and others. Oh. He'll give you a little of everything the team needs. So stop comparing him to the import last year. Hashtag proud mum.
Hashtag proud mum. That is a nosepaper to the snout of ever I've read one in print. Holy moly. Good gravy. Mrs. Milton, we love you, sweetheart. You are one of us.
You know what? And then I got back to her and I said, well done, mum. I'll defend my kids too. All right. And then she got back and said, it's hard reading tweets about him sometimes and not saying anything. Sometimes I'll agree if it's true. I'm his biggest critic. He hates it. With some laughing faces. And now.
This is great.
Me and her, we're following one another.
This is how it works.
I'm never going to get in an argument with a mum defending her son, you know? Like.
Man, now you're following each other. You're like the Pied Piper of mothers.
So I feel like we made it all up, you know? And it's good. But that's a good news story coming out of Milton Doyle not having a great game.
I'm going to make Mrs. Milton an honorary pocketeer. Good on you, though. Let's jump on to the next game. Illawarra and Sydney, the Walton Jr. game. He had 30-plus. He had 9 assists. Bet most assists on debut by a king since 1988, something like that. Heard of the telecast. I just want to say this. Harvey, Tyler Harvey of the Hawks, stinking. 6 of 19, 31%. People out there, this is a question for you, Andrew, if you can answer it, but I don't think you can. And this is a question for people out there and listening and sit back in your chair and everything. Can anyone remember the last decent efficiency shooting game Tyler Harvey had? I'm not sure there was one last season. And I like Tyler Harvey, but boy, oh boy, the evidence is mounting in the red corner.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That first season he had was so lucky. Like he had a great first season, sort of blasted onto the scene. Scored
that was
himself
the two
a
import
nice.
Year, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Maybe he's just not, because there's not that third import, he's just not getting that better defender. A lot of people occupy a third import spot with a wing defender, Swaka, he's on import, but you know, those sorts of guys. Cleveland, that guy just hasn't been there.
I just sort of feel like that was an aberration of a season, and he parlayed that into a 3-year contract. Thank you very much.
Yeah, right.
You know, doesn't have to turn up ever again. Oh man, sad. But
and they needed. What was your impression, Sydney? You were kind of down on them. Has your impression changed to that team, King?
Yeah, Sydney, I've been giving Cooks a hard time, but then he played really well. So, you know.
Unreal.
He's just so good in that sort of mid-post area.
No one can
those
guard
little,
him, man.
Those little hook shots.
Up.
Yeah.
No one can guard him.
He's just too.
Got torched. Everyone got torched.
He's fast. He's powerful. Like, it's just hard to stop. So even though he can't shoot, it just doesn't matter in this league. And he just could get a defensive rebound and jet. They're looking all right. Like Walton had a perler, so it's hard to.
He was unbelievable.
But for me, this was the Lockie Dent game. I'm sorry, yeah. Lockie Dent is
19.7-7.
Man, coming out of nowhere, I love it. So, look, I think the fact that it was this close, I think Illawarra can take heart from that.
I actually wholeheartedly disagree. If Harvey's not going to play well, they're going to struggle, and they needed 19 points, 7 of 7 from dent to stay close, and it was very close actually, but the game was a good game, high quality.
Yeah.
But 19 points from him, 7%. Is he going to shoot 100% and score 20 points ever again? No. And I didn't like this team to begin with, and not that it's all over. I'm not taking all my chips off the table, but wasn't a good game from them, I didn't think. Chucking up stuff and it was all gone.
Oh, yeah. It was one of those games. I want to see more of Sydney before I really am sold on them yet, though.
I don't need to see more of Walton, but I'd like to see a bit more of Sydney. I like the way you put that.
Yep.
Let's jump on. Melbourne, New Zealand.
I missed this game because I was on my way to the Perth Wildcats game. So
I got a patchy look at this, and then most of the fourth, all the fourth, actually.
Also,
this is a game where XRM had 30.
Yep.
And I'll say this, the best off the bench for United was Barlow, who had 9 points. No one else did anything. That's a worry. When a guy who's like exhumed, recently retired and come back, I don't know what you call that, when he's your best off the bench, and best off the bench, the only guy you can go to off the bench with anything. Yeah, they've got to do something there. Shay Ely's concussion. What's going on?
Yeah, don't know.
That is shrouded in mystery and confusion.
It's not being spoken about.
And he's been out for a while with it. Yeah, starting to get a little bit strange.
A little bit worrying. What's more worrying, though, is that Melbourne had to get to OT to beat the Breakers, a team that we have said have been pretty much all agree they're going to be towards the bottom, right?
Did your impression of them change?
No. My impression of both teams is on par. I think they're both extraordinarily average. And I don't understand why you like Melbourne so much. I mean, look, Caroline, 28. Now, this is a box score analysis, right? Because I didn't see the game. But 28 minutes for 2 points on 1 of 10 and 5 rebounds? Like, he can't keep that on the team. And he's short. He's short. They need some size.
One game. That is a stat line, though. Well, that must be one of the worst on debut. +9 in the plus minus, though. Barlow had to pop in for 24 minutes. He retired a week ago. Okay. But no, Illy gives him something off the bench. Newley only played 8 minutes. Boy, oh boy, negative 11. Oh, shucks. No, they need to do something. But, you know, like at any time they can reach out and spend on Angus Brandt or a player like that.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to.
At any time. Yeah, there may be a need to just something off the bench. The bench is gutted. But those guys are good. Man, XRM is a good player. And also, Tucker didn't have his best game, but he's good. And Chris Golding shot the hell out of it. He had a good game.
Yeah.
You know? So that's one of his, you know, 12, 14 good shooting games of the year expended. But maybe, you know, his injuries are a huge concern for me. But no, they'll hit the over. I'm still not worried about that. Let's jump on.
Next Perth, game.
You're at this one.
I was at this game.
Yeah,
you're at this game as a fan man in the stand, not as a media raconteur. I was paid for my ticket, showed up, had my kid with me. We watched a game of basketball.
Amazing.
It was the Bryce Cotton game. Like ridiculous stat line. He was filling up all the boxes. There's never been a performance like it. And the stats. What was it?
26, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals or something?
6 steals, I think it was in the end.
Oh, God.
Just ridiculous. And it was interesting watching the sub pattern with Perth. I think really still trying to figure it out. He was sort of having Bryce, and it was so different to last year, Bryce Cotton getting really short stints on the bench. Just a minute here, a minute there, then whipping back in, and then they had Webster as being the creator when he was off the court, sort of as a cotton light.
That'll work.
So that's a good role for him, I think. So they've always got somebody on the court who can just find their own shot. Mm-hmm. Word out of Perth camp today, though, not on this game. Apparently, Todd Blanchfield may be hurt in training. Bit of an update for you.
Put a fist through the wall after turning an ankle or something.
Yeah, something like that. Brady Manick. Oh man,
I want to take
that one. And I'll just say, big banger. Big Aaron Baines was solid, but not spectacular.
Which is what you expect. He almost played like Colton Iverson did in his first game in the NBL.
Yep. And Tanner Krebs started fast. and finished fast and was invisible through the second and third quarters.
They need him to be a big player. They need him to be, give you good 30 good NBL minutes or thereabouts. Yeah. Listen, Manic, this is an issue. I put out a tweet in the week. Since joining the Wildcats, he's 11 of 42 from the field, 26%, and 5 of 25, 20% from the three. That includes this game and the blitz. Now, of course, the blitz, it's not worth everything, but the worry for me is he's a little bit slower. The fitness is not fitness, the athleticism is lacking. Yep. And as a result, decision-making from college has just gone up. It's quicker. So the shot still looks good. And our friend the Hoot was saying this, and the shot looks great. It looks great out of the hands. But the problem is that he's had to run that little bit faster off a screen to get it, or work that little bit harder on D, or get the shot up just that little bit quicker, and or make the decision to shoot that little bit quicker. And it's just not all coming together. It's a real transition to go from UNC, all kids under 24, to playing against real hard-nosed pros who are bigger and stronger and faster and better. And that's a tough transition. Now, I don't doubt that he'll improve. He can't get much worse than that. But the problem I have is that the Wildcats have always been a front up, we pay you, you do what we say, you eat what we say, you eat shit what we say. They've been very much a we pay you, you do what we want production immediately. Well, look, cut you. That's been their motto for all their successful years. Right? Yep. Bendat was very much that way. This is an import spot. Now, I'm all for up development player or next star. Yeah, let's see how he develops. This is one of three imports. It's your trump card, your ace in the hole, and they've spent it on Manic. It just shows that, oh, yeah, we're going to have one of these import slots, bit of a flyer. It's not the Wildcat mentality. They've always been, we want pros from the moment you put your foot on the tarmac at Perth Airport. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a fair point. And I think Jesse Wagstaff showed how Manic needs to play. I mean, Wagstaff in half the court time, way more efficient, 4 or 5 for threes against Manic. Manic shot 9 threes, which is one more than Bryce Cotton. Now, I don't like that ratio. And like you said, his shot looks okay. He's all up in his head. At one point, he subbed off and he's like slamming the towel into the floor.
Which I like. He's not. Yeah. He's not just like, he's not my day. No, he's pissed. I'm a fan and I want him to do well.
Get the man a sports psychologist. Yeah, he just needs to sit down and have a chat.
But after 7 games, is quarter of the season is when you have to really start thinking, okay, this was fun. Maybe not. John Riley's got a thing. Like also, Mills has got a, he did not do well with changing imports last year. If it comes to that, jump on the gun, but whatever. Yep. But John Riley, this is his first in real palpable in-season coaching issue that he, and I'm sure he's faced many, but this is the one for me. That how do you bring a player into confidence? Not easily done. And that's, we'll see how good John really is at doing that. I have
that's
no
the
doubt.
Test.
Last game of the round, and then we're out of here. Tasmania Cairns. Did you watch it? What do you think?
I did. Cairns at first, I was a little bit worried. Started off a bit wobbly, but then they turned into the league pass team that I was hoping they would become.
They were fast, eh? They were fast.
Just up and down, shoot the ball. No, don't overthink it.
do not overthink it. Don't think at all. Don't think. Just
as opposed to Tasmania, who spend the whole time thinking.
Oh man!
Pass it sideways, dribble back out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I wasn't worried about Tasmania after the first game. I thought, yep, they ground the game down and had a chance to win at the end and couldn't quite close because they don't have Josh Adams and their imports weren't quite, figured it out yet.
Yep.
I had no problem. I thought, oh, they'll win. They'll win, in the double-digit games. That's no problem. After this game, I thought, oh, dear. First of all, they lost at home. They lost very few games at home, especially to teams like Cairns, who are not, in our estimation, a finals team. Yep. So they've already lost one. And Majet just stinking.
I had him as captain in my fantasy team.
Why would you do that?
Because he had a double. 2 games in the McVay, one round.
That was when I went with. And I captained Cooks, I think. But
this is why I suck at fantasy.
It's a reality.
He was terrible. He was
Majet was bad over both games. His shooting stats, his splits are dreadful. And just looked like couldn't manufacture anything.
No.
Got a couple of assists, but it was like squeezing a watermelon seed between your fingers. Everything was just so difficult for him. And then, pew.
When Fabian Krizlovic is your go-to guy, you know,
I was on fire. Big issues. Again, though, this is my thing, free throw disparity. I mentioned it about SEM and that game. The disparity was 29-6. This was better, but not much better. 32-14. It just shows to me guys aren't attacking the basket. Mikal McIntosh from last season was a guy who was big, strong, attacked the hoop. I always had a bit of a soft spot for him.
Yeah,
he got to the foul line. Foul line helps, slows the game. And, you know, as you might have noticed, Tasmania like to slow this thing down. So let
me get this clear. You're saying the free throw discrepancy wasn't – you're not saying the referees
did a bad job.
It's like –
It was because Tasmania were caught flat-footed every turn where Cairns would just grab ball off rim, push it out, two long dribbles in front of you. And Tasmania were always on the side of guys, always late to react, and that's when you get caught for fouls. No, I didn't think it was bad refereeing at all. Yep. I just thought the refs watched that game as they were calling it and thought, yep, Cairns are the aggressor. They're the faster team, and I've got a team – trying to grab onto them and you know, are late to initiate contact. Yep. We're not going to give you that call.
Yep.
Cairns look good. I mean, Cairns are going to just shoot. They're going to either lay it up or shoot a three.
Yep.
That strategy worked for the Adelaide 36ers against the Suns, and it'll probably work for a number of games in the NBL. But I think when you force them to make decisions, they may come unstuck a little bit. But it works. But yeah, Tasmania. A little bit of a worry there, but. I still see a blueprint where I can see they're going to play D. They're going to grind down games. Magne will help even when.
Yeah.
And
there's nothing exciting about the Jackies this year.
Sorry, I'm interrupting. Sorry.
No, there was something fun about watching them last year. This season, they're just dreary. They need to sort that out.
Go back. This is one thing. The commentary was, oh, Josh Adams. Yes, he played really well the last quarter.
Oh, he had some stinkers. I know, mate.
But he stunk. Yeah, you were saying this long before. Anyone was. But you go back and look at the Jack Jumpers' first couple of games last year. They weren't good. But they did happen to just sneak out wins against, you know, I think they had an easy run to start. They had Cairns. They had a Brisbane. They had a few things. They've already lost one. And it's just a bad way to start. But they're going to play D. I still saw where... Okay, this team is going to grind teams down so badly, and yeah. I'm not hitting the red button just yet.
Okay.
Well, they're the games. We've talked about the coverage. We've talked about everything. Looking at the clock, We're at
to be managed
41 minutes.
That's not bad. That's not bad. It's just next week. I mean, we don't really necessarily need tips. It's too early. I think.
No. What I will say
there's a massive series of games on next week.
How many games are there? I'm just bringing up the schedule right now.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Wow, we got Thursday, we got Friday. Let's go. What do you think is the pick of the round? Best game?
Let's see.
You got Melbourne, Sydney.
Sydney, Perth, Brizzy. Hawks, Sydney, Super. Brizzy, maybe.
You're in on Brisbane.
Melbourne, Sydney. Melbourne, Sydney.
That'd be fun. In Melbourne, too.
Even Cairns, Perth. That could be fun.
Cairns, Perth.
Yeah.
In Cairns, Perth struggle up there. I don't think that'd be attractive. For me out there, everyone, if you're a casual fan of the league and you're like, oh, I'll just take in one or two games. Perth on the Saturday night at 8 o'clock in Perth, Illawarra, that'll be good. And then, yeah, as we said before, Melbourne, Sydney at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Not the best time. Watch it on a tablet, catch the second half. That'll be worth it. Looking at a Friday night, it'll be kind of fun. You got Sydney, Brisbane. You can tune into that after work.
Yeah,
Friday at 5:30 in New Zealand. Yikes! Don't look at the TV ratings there. Oh dear,
I've been buried.
That's what I think.
So that brings us to the end of our first proper show for season 2022-23. Did we do well? Did we not? I don't know. You tell us. Tweet at Andrew Kenyon at MBL Pocket Pod, Discord in the link.
Tipping comp.
Tipping comp, yes, at footy tips. Correct me every time.
It's in the link. It's in the description.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Fantasy, I don't know, it's out there.
We may talk about it a bit. The fantasy, if you really want to take into, and it is fun. It's a great Monday morning activity as you're taking a shot. It's only attention I give it. But it is fun to trade in guys and ooh. But if you really want to get serious about it, there's a podcast called The Basketball Blokes. They have a wholly solely fantasy dedicated podcast to do indeed. Go and listen to them and subscribe.
The one thing I know about my fantasy team this year is I'm trading out Josh Majette.
Jet's coming up. Got to come out. Never should have come in. So you've only got yourself to blame.
That's why I'm bad at fantasy.
This was fun, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Ciao.